On the show today, we have Ondot Systems Gary Singh talking about empowering consumers to fight fraud and customize usage, a very insightful and loaded with practical takeaways talk. So check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Gary Singh from Ondot Systems. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having us on the show. Excited to be here today.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule as well. And we are talking about a very timely topic today, competence and control, empowering consumers to fight fraud and customize usage. Obviously, we've all been reading and hearing and watching this type of stuff for the past few years about fighting fraud and customizing consumer usage at financial institutions nationwide. So how do customers, how do they detect combat fraud from the front lines while increasing engagement within their mobile app? How do financial institutions, credit unions in this case, how do they do that? And then kind of summarize what we're going to be talking about here today.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm going to put on my consumer hat for a moment and talk from a consumer perspective.
Thank you.
You know, we live in a digital world today. Everybody's expecting, you know, things to move quicker, faster, better. And one of the things that is not digital today is unfortunately this piece of plastic. This is a piece of plastic we use every day in most cases. And unfortunately, it's still living in the last decade. A lot of things have gotten digitized, but this hasn't gotten digitized. Right. So in today's digital economy, the question is, you know, how do you basically engage with this card, which unfortunately can't talk back to you because it's not digital.
Right.
So when you're using this card today in any sort of a shopping store or a market, you really don't know if it's me who's using it or you using it. And although, you know, the FIs have put in a lot of controls, you know, the POS person is supposed to look at the back of the card, match the signature, look at your picture. But, you know, if you're standing in line, they don't do that, right? Because it just causes friction in the system.
Right.
Now, recently, based on consumer demand, Visa and MasterCard have said, hey, under $25, don't even sign for anything, right? So that's the level of trust that needs to be put into place. But obviously, all the burden of and risk is coming back to the credit unions, because as you get more and more lenient on the front lines with a piece of plastic that really can't talk to you, what's the solution?
Right.
So that's really where, you know, Ondot sort of comes into play, and we've been in the market for about, you know, 3-4 years. We have about 3,000 FIs already using our service.
Wow.
And what we do, So what we do is basically we take the phone and really connect this card to the phone or the smartphone. And with that relationship, what's happening is this is now having a digital personality inside the phone. And based on my set of rules and requirements, I can actually tell the FI where I am, where I'm spending the money, how much money do I want to spend. If I do delegate the card, for example, for some reason, if I give this to my daughter, I can say, hey, she can't spend more than $50. You know, so the whole digital conversation sort of starts to take place.
Yeah.
So that's the step one for this whole conversation, is to really digitize this piece of plastic and give it a voice.
Yeah.
And then on top of giving that voice is, how do you control the transactions, again, through a digital mechanism?
Yeah, I think
that's the broad idea here.
Yeah, and the customization of it is phenomenal. Like you just said, hey, you know what? I'm going to give the card to my daughter, $50 max. And I mean, that kind of control is very nice, especially from a parent's perspective. But I mean, from a consumer's perspective too, there's so many other things you can do. So it's really, really cool. Can you share a couple of best practices for fraud detection in this case and customer engagement through real-time customization and card controls?
Absolutely. So at a very, very high level, you know, let's say, for example, you have a card in your pocket and you get a alert from your bank or your financial institution, and they say, hey, you know, your pattern doesn't look right. And this happens today as well. They try to call you over SMS or, you know, the standard channels, voice channels and things like that. But again, it's not real time. You're sitting in a meeting. You're not going to answer the phone, or you get an SMS message. You may or may not look at your phone. But if it's in the app, you know, you're typically engaging with the app on a lot more frequent basis. So when you get that kind of information, you can quickly alert your credit union to say, hey, yes, it's me, or no, it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So let me walk you through that journey. Let's say in a worst case scenario, you say, it's not me, right? This is not a card. I didn't do this transaction. What typically happens? Well, they close your card out, right? They block it so it can't be used anymore.
Right.
But guess what? I got to go buy lunch this afternoon because I'm hungry. What do I do? Right. So we, because there's a digital conversation happening between me, the cardholder, and my credit union, even though my card is compromised, I can override the transactions where I can tell them that that's actually me that doing the transaction and not some fraudster somewhere else in the market.
Yeah.
So your card is never sort of fully disabled, We call it a safe mode, so that transactions that I'm not authorizing will not go through, but the transactions that I am authorizing, like buying my lunch because I'm hungry, or paying a hotel bill if I'm a foreign country, those transactions will go through.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the first step in terms of the standard engagement. The second part is, because my card is linked to my phone, there's also benefits in saying that if I'm not next to my phone, the card will not work. So there's a feature in our capabilities.
I like
that. Okay. That say, hey, it says there's different levels of controls you can set up. So for example, I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. And why should this card work in LA if I'm not in LA, right? So I can set a region for myself and say, typically I'm here. But when I go to LA, automatically the system detects that I've gone to LA, and it can prompt you and say, the credit union can send an automatic alert saying, hey, it looks like you're in LA. And I can say, yes, I'm in LA. And my card is not going to work in LA. Right? So you're kind of fighting fraud from the front line, because there's a digital conversation happening between the cardholder and the credit union.
Love it.
So that's from a location perspective. I can even take it to the next level. This, I talked about a region setting.
Sure, yeah.
Keep it easier. But in other ways, we have another feature which says this card can only work if this is right next to me. So this is taking fraud control to the next level, to say, even though I'm in San Francisco and the card is not going to work in LA, but if I'm really a paranoid guy who just wants to make sure that I'm totally protected, I can basically link the card to my phone, so it only works if the phone is next to me.
Okay.
So if my wife takes the card, it's not going to work. Or my daughter takes the card, it's not going to work. Right?
Smart man. Just kidding.
So this is fighting fraud from the front lines, because you are having an engaging conversation with your credit union. And because of the digital engagement, the credit union knows that it's really me using the card. Or if I decide to give the card to my daughter, it's really me delegating the card to the daughter.
Right.
And my daughter has really taken it accidentally, or somebody else may have taken it or swiped it if I left it in a restaurant.
Well, the other thing is that if your wife has a card and your daughter has a card personally, then you can set those same they can set those same controls as well, right? So they have the same control. Like if you took their card, hey, where's my card? Well, I can't use it.
So. That's right. Actually, there's another interesting use case that we discovered after we launched the service. Which is, let's say I have a card and my daughter is at an age where she cannot have her own card for what, like a credit card or something like that.
Right.
So what I can do is I can actually delegate my card to her. So from a credit union perspective, I now actually have two account holders, right?
Nice.
My main account is the primary account holder, and I am actually delegating my card and its personality with some better controls to my daughter.
Right? Sure.
So you've just acquired another customer, which is being acquired through me as the parent. Otherwise, I would have given her $20 to say, go see the movies, here's $20, right?
Yeah.
And but now I've basically delegated the card to her, meaning I've created two personalities for the card, one for me and for her. So there's a virtual card piece that's happening simultaneously, which is really increasing the reach, if you will.
We've run into that same scenario here in our household with our 17-year-old daughter, where my wife will give her debit card or my debit card, and she can't use it because it's connected to us, not her.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Would this bypass that? If you kind of give her a proxy, I guess, on that card, so it's okay for her to use it?
Absolutely.
Okay,
so,
cool.
I mean, that's the way the credit union has to look at their own, framework, if you will, to say, okay, if I'm launching the service, what are the conditions I want to put around it? But I'm putting a lot of control back in my member, and the member is basically deciding how, when, where, and how to use the card. Mm-hmm. And if the member wants to delegate it, and they have a tool to make that happen, which is very secure, might as well let them do that.
No doubt.
Exactly.
That's a great move. Great move.
Absolutely.
So why is this stuff so important today? I think I already know the answer in my head, but I want to get your take.
Sure. Yeah, I think at the underlying aspect of this is, breaches will continue to happen, right? We can talk, there's a breach happening every other day in some part of the world.
Yep.
And a lot of your credit card information is stored by retailers, by restaurants, I mean, all kinds of different, online places. So, the fundamental thing is we have to create a system that is self-learning and self-adjusting to the extent that if somebody even knows what the card information is on your card, that they cannot use it. So you kind of create a system with digital capabilities that ensures that only, because this number here, right, you can copy it right now and my CVV number and start using it if you want it.
I won't do that to you, Gary. I won't do that to you.
So the whole thing is that as that breaches will continue, and in the old days, I'll use this ideology that you're basically walking through a really, really bad neighborhood and you're protecting yourself, your wallet and things like that. Living in a digital world, right? It's all good and bad.
Yeah,
right?
You're right.
So, like, you can't virtually say I'm in a good part of the digital world, mm-hmm. because the digital world is flat, right? Yep. It's going to come and get you no matter where you are.
Uh-huh.
So you have to have automated systems to help protect yourself, mm-hmm. The cardholder, the information, how you use it, control it. So that's really one element of what we are trying to do, which is really in a digital world, how do you protect the cardholder and how do you basically protect and enable fraud capabilities for the credit union? Mm-hmm. So that's benefit to both sides. The second piece that comes with this is, as we go into digital world, is I'm sure that you're buying stuff on Amazon these days.
Oh, or just yesterday.
Right, exactly. So your card information is just going out there, right? I mean, to different retailers storing your card, right? And some protect better than the others. Mm-hmm. So how do you basically manage to ensure that, to say, hey, I put my card on Amazon, but it's only for certain limits that I have decided and only for my transactions, right? So that mm-hmm. nobody else can use my card on Amazon. So we can link the merchant to the to the cardholder,
wow,
right?
Nice.
So card on file distribution is going to keep exploding in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So the question is, how do you want to protect that?
Yeah.
And the third, which is Nirvana, which is, I'm sorry, I'm going to use the Amazon example because they're very progressive.
That's okay.
It's the fact that, you walk into stores, in Seattle and you can walk out without even paying for anything, right? It's invisible payments. So in that context, the relationship between the cardholder has to be digital.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then taking that to the next level, when you talk about Internet of Things, right? The future is you drive your car to a drive-thru and the food just shows up and you drive away.
Yep.
There's no transaction of payment that's going to mm-hmm. take place.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have another element, which is the invisible payment that needs to be secure. It is digital. And you can think about that whole journey, if you will, which moved from carrying this in your pocket to making it all invisible
mm-hmm.
in the transactions. But at the same time, it's front and center because this is going to control before, during, and after how a transaction mm-hmm. really takes place, right? This is your lifeline in terms of managing your card services.
Can I take it a step further with,
sure.
with wearables, with watch, yes. like the Apple Watch or the Android? Does it work with that as well? Can you, like, if your watch is near you, obviously it's attached to your wrist, will it, can you guys take it a step further there? Or is that something that's in work in progress or?
Absolutely. So we're not quite there yet.
Okay.
But
I assume it'll be,
from a roadmap perspective, we expect that, Apple Watch or other wearables, can be tied to your card.
Right.
Transaction. So whatever personality you create for yourself, your identifier is going to be a function of biometrics plus your smart device. Smart
mm-hmm.
device could be a phone or a watch or anything else you want to wear.
Maybe they have rings now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So all those things kind of come together. And the beauty of this is really coming back to the beginning of the conversation is that you have to digitize the payment instrument. It cannot stay as a plastic in the current form factor. Now, it'll stay there in the sense that it's an augmentation. We're not saying that we're going to get rid of the plastic entirely. Over time, maybe in 20 years, plastic will definitely disappear.
Yep.
There's no question about it. But today, it's an augmentation.
Yep.
So you're taking that piece of plastic and you're making it more intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You're controlling it. You're securing it. You're having a conversation with it. And those things were not possible, before the solution came to the market.
No doubt. This is so fantastic. So what's the ultimate goal here, Gary? Is it obviously convenience, security, customization, anything else?
I would say, at a very, very high level, it's about digitization. Digitization of the full card services.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that comes what we would term it as personalization.
Oh, okay.
So I shared a lot of examples in terms of fighting fraud from the front lines, right? I shared examples of convenience and making payments as frictionless as possible. I talked about how to basically take that payment instrument and use it at multiple places, sort of exploring the reach of it through delegation and other mechanisms, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next thing that goes into this is people, again, going back to the digital world, they want information, quicker, better, faster, right?
Yeah.
So, if I opted in to services to say, hey, rather than me searching for a service, why don't you tell me what are my three options that I can make a quick decision on?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll use a very rudimentary example of that. So the rudimentary example for me personally is near my office, there's about, 15 or 20 restaurants. And I'm one of those guys who goes out to lunch every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my thing, right? And it would be nice for the credit union to tell me that today you may want to look at this and this based on your spending habits.
Ah.
right? And I'm not talking necessarily about a coupon or, you know, those things help as well.
Right.
You know, where I can get 5% here or 10% there. And, mm-hmm. you know, different FIs have tried that with a shotgun blast, right? Yep. They'll say, hey, here's all the location-based promotions. Well, there's like 5,000 of them, right?
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
have time to go through 5,000 of them.
Right.
And I basically never look at them because it's just a worthless effort for me, right? I mean, it's a nice gesture, but, you know, what am I going to do? I don't have enough time. I got to make a decision in 30 seconds
exactly.
where I'm going to have lunch.
Right.
Right? So based on my spending habits, which restaurants I frequent more often than others, and working with the merchant sites, you know, from a location-based value, if you will, I'll call it value, not marketing. It basically makes my decision process quicker. And then, you know, then the journey continues, right? So first, I pick the restaurant very quickly. Second, I eat my food, right? And I enjoy that because I'm not wasting time, you know, looking for one or the other. So mm-hmm. I have five minutes extra, I guess. And then when I'm departing, I just walk away.
Right.
You know, there's no sort of payment that
wow.
needs to take place, right?
Wow.
Kind of like today, you're doing some of that with Starbucks, right? You walk
yeah.
in there and you just scan your phone and off you go, right?
Yeah. Or you order before you go into the store.
Exactly. Or order before you go, which is exactly what I do every morning,
yeah.
right?
Right on.
As I'm walking to the Starbucks, I'm basically placing my order.
Good for you.
And I go up, pick it up, and I take off. So mm-hmm. all those conveniences, you know, happen because of the digitization. They obviously, day one, took it to a digital requirement. It's a closed loop, obviously. We're taking that same concept and spreading it across the network, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Any merchant, any card member, any credit union.
Wow, this is wow. like, this is life beyond the card to me. That's
yeah.
what I'm thinking, you know? I mean,
yeah.
obviously it's still there. And like you said, yeah. it's not going anywhere for like the next 20 years or so. But this is life beyond the card. I mean, it's not even like, it's just paying, you know?
Yes.
And it's
yes.
it's this seamless kind of invisible paying, very, you just kind of go in and do your thing and leave, and it just happens.
yes, it just happens. And here's the thing that we have to be careful about, right? If you're a credit union, for example,
mm-hmm.
if your payment instrument, see, banking has already become invisible, right? I mean, you just, you know, checks get deposited, and then, well, I don't go to the ATM anymore, right? So from that perspective, you know, that whole concept is invisible in that sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And mobile banking is a big part of that. And frequency of use, even mobile banking has taken off quite a bit. You know, it's an essential tool, but it's not an engaging tool. It's not something you're going to go in every day and look at your balance because, you know, it's what it is, right?
Right.
And some people may do it, but, you know, a lot of people don't do that, right? So it's not an engaging element from that, but it's essential from
mm-hmm.
that perspective.
No doubt.
But payments are going to start happening, you know, micropayments and large payments multiple times a day. So, for example, you know, on-demand purchase of goods and services, right? Again, coming back to the IoT,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you go into Best Buy today, there's, you know, refrigerators that are, you know, automated, right? They can order food for you. Washing machines can order, you know, soap for you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Dishwasher can do this kind. All these are going to be micropayments, right? And you're going to select the right merchants that are going to fulfill that demand for you. So payments are becoming frictionless and invisible. However, to build that relationship between the credit union and the member,
mm-hmm.
you want to give them the tool to manage all these payments. So just like, so that is the relationship that we want to talk about in terms of, while all of this is happening, this is a great opportunity to also have the digital conversation that is also happening on a daily basis between the credit union
yeah.
and the member itself.
Yeah,
so you're not becoming invisible like the banking has gone in today's world, where you don't go to the branch anymore, you don't go to the ATM anymore,
right.
and your frequency of use of mobile banking is perhaps once a week
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
On a good day, right? Or a good week, if you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Hey, did my paycheck show up? Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want to see. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Well, there's also the other side of it is like is keeping track of these payments since they're becoming so invisible.
Yes.
I think you really have to be more cognizant of watching what you spend, you know, because it's so easy now, you know. But back in the day, it's like, gosh, I only had a $5 bill on me. I could only get a sandwich for $4.95 or
that's
something,
right.
you know. So now you got to be
right.
really wary or aware of what you're spending too. So that's the other side of the coin.
To your point, I think if you think about this from the whole digital concept, what are the other categories that will benefit from this?
Mm-hmm.
Right. One of them is, to your point, personal finance management. So, you know, in terms of what your spend patterns are, you know, you can basically start looking at those things. And for example, if you did give your card to your daughter who happens to be studying in a university in LA, you can kind of keep an idea of what's going on,
oh,
right?
Sure. It's sure.
Are the transactions happening at 7-Eleven with, you know, alcohol, or are they happening at you know, at the cafe where she's supposed to be buying coffee, right?
Exactly.
So, or did she basically decide to go to Vegas for the weekend?
Now, that's trouble.
Or whatever the case may be, right?
That's a whole nother story.
Yeah, exactly. So PFM is definitely, to your point, an evolution that this will happen from digitization perspective. So that's definitely one piece of that. I think the other piece is this whole digital conversation in terms of, you know, what other value adds can we bring to the table? So today, if you go to, for example, to buy a mattress, and I use that example because this is very common there, they try to give you, a payment plan, right? Upsell you and then give you a payment plan.
Right.
But when they do that, you know, you as a credit union is losing that business, right? Because somebody else is going to be providing that credit.
Yeah. Interesting. Right? Yeah.
So with this, you know, you're about to buy a mattress, you know, the credit union can basically preempt that by saying, hey, by the way, if you buy this mattress because you're in the mattress store, I'm going to give you a payment plan over 24 months, right?
And sweet.
Accept or decline, right? Mm-hmm. That's a possibility here.
Okay.
So, you know, this evolves into other elements of finance in terms of credit and other things mm-hmm. where that digital conversation is happening in real time. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing it the right way from mm-hmm. a credit union perspective, staying ahead of the curve to say, hey, let me just make sure that every time they spend money, they spend it through my system.
Mm-hmm, exactly. It's kind of like getting pre-approved for an auto loan. You know, you want
to
spend
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So any high value merchandise transactions, any type of those, why lose out on that business?
No doubt.
The opportunity and make it very frictionless. One click, you have it there.
Yeah.
You're not standing there in front of the counter while they're doing your credit check, right?
Exactly. You want to get in and out, get your mattress home and go to sleep,
right.
You know?
That's right.
Gosh, Gary, I could go on and on about it. This is so much fun to talk about, so much fun. And just to see where it's going, it's just amazing how far we've come. Anything else to wrap up here? Where can we find out more information on this? Where can we find out more information on Dot and all that good stuff?
No, absolutely. So the best way these days is digital, right? So obviously we would recommend going to our website, ondotsystems.com. That has a lot of information about some of the services we provide. But like I said in the beginning of the call, we're already deployed at about 3,000 different financial institutions. So if you know some of your audience may already be using it,
yeah.
They can start thinking about where to take it next.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that who are not using it today can definitely start looking into it. They can call their processors. So Co-op is a great mm-hmm. partner of us, mm-hmm. you know, so they can go and talk to them and they can acquire the service through them as well.
Right on.
So they can go to Co-op, they can go to our digital website, they can obviously listen to your webcast multiple times
and get information
that way. But yeah, we're excited about this. This is just the beginning of our journey. We definitely see, you know, personalization of payments, digitization of payments, and really a very, very specific, intelligent and contextual conversation mm-hmm. between the credit union and their member sort of taking place with this concept on a high frequency basis. And
yep.
I intensely talk about that because if you're not top of mind, you're out of mind.
So that's right.
Payments is happening every day. So, establishing a channel on those rails will definitely be beneficial for both the credit union and the member.
Yeah, indeed.
Because the value goes both ways.
Yep. Great message to end on. Gary, thank you so much for this such a fascinating conversation that, again, we could go on and on for another half hour at least. So let's have you back on and we can talk about the next stage in this whole process. So really exciting stuff. Gary, thank you so much again. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thanks again.
You're welcome.